Hey everybody, it's Meredith Miller with Inner Integration. Today, the message I want to give you about recovery after narcissistic abuse is responding versus reacting. This is how you avoid the trap that the narcissist lays out in front of you, which invites you to step out of integrity. So I'm going to tell you what the difference is. I'm going to tell you about how this plays out in some relationships. I'm going to tell you how this is your responsibility, where this might be coming from, and I'm going to give you some pointers on how to respond versus react. So the number one thing that's important to understand is that your reaction or your response is your responsibility. Whatever somebody else says or does or thinks, that's nothing to do with you. That's entirely on them. But your response is your responsibility. Responsibility, right? Your reaction is your responsibility. And that's partly why the narcissist will focus so much on your reaction versus the actual abuse that took place. So if you think back, you know, maybe you're still in it, or maybe you're thinking back in retrospect, and they were always focusing on your reaction. And by the time they focused on your reaction, it was like you completely forgot about what the whole point was that you were talking about. It's a fantastic misdirection technique. So I want to tell you how to deal with this, but I also want to tell you about the difference here is mindfulness, right? A reaction is an instantaneous reaction to something that happens. It's like this stimulus happens and then you react in this way. And it's something emotional. It's definitely driven by emotion. And you haven't thought about it. There's no rational or logical backing to that. And you probably haven't even thought about the consequences. It was just something stirred the emotional response to the stimuli. And then you reacted without actually taking a moment to respond from a point of mindfulness. The difference here is mindfulness and empowerment, which is what happens on the side of responding, versus an irrational, emotional reaction that ends up having some kind of consequence that you didn't actually really want. Maybe you end up looking like the bad person. Maybe you do something that's out of integrity with yourself and then you don't really like yourself afterwards. These sorts of things will happen. Or maybe then the focal point becomes you because of whatever you did in reaction to the abuse that took place, to the provocation that took place. One of the biggest tools of the narcissist or other cluster B is using some sort of emotional provocation. It usually comes through words. Sometimes it comes through actions, but it's usually through some kind of word that's meant to provoke you and get that emotional response. And then what happens is you feed the narcissist. You feed that manipulator with your emotional reaction. Everything the narcissist does at the beginning is to gauge your reaction, to see how you're going to react to that. Are they going to get a favorable response? Are they going to get an unfavorable response? Are they going to get something positive? And then they hook you in that way, like when they say, I love you, or I miss you, or these sorts of things. Like, do they pull you in that way? Or do they say something then that puts you on the self-defensive, that makes you self-doubt, that makes you think something is wrong with you for thinking that just because you don't agree with them? Everything is to gauge your reaction. It's all about that reaction because your reaction gives them fuel and supply. When you really understand that, you understand your power. You understand that reacting is giving away your power and responding is empowering yourself and not getting caught in that trap. Don't give them the reaction. They're always going to say something that isn't true. They're going to accuse you of doing something or being something, or you're going to say, you know, I feel this way, you know, when you do that. And you know yourself and you know that you're not doing that. You know that they're doing that. And you say, I feel, you know, sad, or I feel exhausted or confused, or I feel low energy when you do this. And then the person says, yeah, actually, I feel the same way. Yeah, yeah, you're definitely doing the same thing to me. And you're like, what? Oh my God, you know, and you freak out. That's exactly what they want. They want your outrage. They want your disbelief. They want you to be appalled at what they're saying. And then you get caught in the self-defense. It's one of the hardest things to do, to hear somebody slander you. Now, slander means it's not true. To hear somebody slander you and not want to defend yourself, because it's like a natural reaction. You want to defend yourself. You want to vindicate yourself because you know that you're not doing that. But this is always going to get you caught in that spider web. The part of the human brain that makes decisions is also the part of the human brain where emotions come from, right? So if you can predict a person's emotional response, then you can predict their behavioral response. This is known in sales, for example. People who work in sales know you got to get the person into this emotional response, and then they'll say yes, and they'll take that action. You know, maybe you need to trigger their fear and, you know, tell them, oh, if you don't have this, then this and that and the other, you know, if you don't buy this car, you're not going to get all the hot girls, you know, that sort of thing. If you don't buy this outfit, then, you know, a man's not going to give you the time of day. This sort of thing is known. It also happens in the news. News is designed to provoke your emotional response to something that is either true or untrue. It doesn't matter. But the point is that they provoke your emotional response, and then they can predict the behavior that you will have, the action that you will take as a result of that. Fear is one of the most manipulated emotions in the news. That's why I call it fear porn. It's meant to make you afraid, because when you're afraid, you'll say yes to almost anything. When people are afraid, they sign away their, you know, human rights, they sign away their civil rights, they don't care about privacy and things like this, because they've just been provoked into that state of fear, which, like I said, could be real or not real. It could be something purely imaginary that they plant in your mind and they get you to have a reaction. So this skill of learning how to respond and not react is a life skill. It's a life skill. It's not just a recovering after narcissistic abuse thing. This tool, this skill will help you throughout your life, because there's always some invitation to react in an emotional way. And if you can train yourself and teach yourself to stop that process, to put a little space in there, to become more mindful and respond in a way that's in integrity and in alignment with who you are, you're going to feel a lot better about yourself and about the decisions that you're making and about the actions that you're taking in life. So choose your response consciously. It's important to remember too that when you're having a conversation with the narcissist or another cluster B, if you don't agree with them, or if your beliefs or opinions or your actions go against what they want you to do, because remember, they always want you to conform to their, they have to control you, they have to control how you believe and what you think. And if you grew up with a narcissistic parent, you learn this since you were really young. When you don't respond, when you don't react in that way, when you don't perform in the way they want, when you don't agree with them or do something that they find agreeable, whatever opinion that is that doesn't conform to them, a narcissist will take that as criticism, right? Like, a normal person won't. A normal person won't see into that you're attacking them or that you're criticizing them. Just, you have a different belief. You have a different opinion, and that's okay. We don't all have to have the same opinions. We don't all have to believe the same. We can still be friends. We can still hang out, even though we don't see eye to eye on that. But that will never happen with the narcissist, because that criticism triggers that deep sense of insecurity that they have. And so it becomes a narcissistic injury, because they feel that sense of injury, that you have injured them by not agreeing with them, by not believing, by not reacting the way they want you to, then they have to punish you. Then they do something to provoke your reaction. And if you react emotionally exactly how they want to, they get the narcissistic fuel, the narcissistic supply, they get what they want from you, and then you feel horrible afterwards. So that's why it's so important to understand these dynamics. So don't fall for the self-defense trap. As soon as you catch yourself defending yourself, that's not me. You know, I didn't do that. I don't, there's nothing wrong. And you start getting into this self-defense, and now it's all focused on you. It's all focused on your reaction. You're just going to get more emotionally flustered in the moment, and you're going to react in a way that you wish you hadn't. And you're going to totally lose track of the actual thing that you were talking about. You know, it's a great misdirection technique of the narcissist, because by provoking your emotional reaction, then they get to focus on that, and they make you totally forget what you were actually talking about to begin with, whatever their accountability was, because they don't accept any accountability for themselves. Whatever that was, you've totally forgotten, and now you're just totally caught in the self-defense trap. You're exhausting yourself, you're burning energy, you start to feel horrible about yourself, and the worst thing is that you might even start to believe whatever accusations they're throwing your way. So where does this come from? Well, if you grew up in a family where there was a narcissistic or other cluster B disordered individual, one of your parents, what happened was you developed this survival mechanism, essentially. Reaction was a survival mechanism. Someone yelled your name and you jumped and ran, like you had to. Someone demanded that you do something and you had to do it. And you had to do it just like they said you did, or you were gonna get punished. And it was like the worst thing. So, of course, you learn to react. Now, you have new choices, right? During childhood, you didn't know. That was out of your control. It was a survival mechanism, and you survived, and that's the amazing thing. And now, as an adult, you have the choice in how you respond to everyday life, to anything that can happen in everyday life, whether it's with the narcissist or something entirely unrelated. That's your responsibility, and it's also your freedom of choice. When you are breaking up with a narcissist, or you're kindly trying to end it without just abruptly going no contact, which is sometimes the easiest way to do, but say you're trying to have like an actual rational conversation, one really important thing that you need to remember before you even get involved in that conversation is take your ego and your pride, put it over there. Just set it aside. Tell it to sit down, and that you'll come back for it later, okay? It's so important, because that emotional reaction is also related to the ego, because the ego feels like you're not good enough, like there's something wrong with you, like you need to defend yourself, like you need to vindicate yourself, like you need to be right, you need to show them how you're right. It's just gonna get you caught in that trap. Put your ego aside and be willing to let them say whatever they're gonna say. They're gonna accuse you of things, they're gonna say things about you that aren't true. That's okay. You don't have to respond to that at all. You can just let them talk. You can say something like, I hear you. I hear that you feel angry. I hear that you feel whatever you sense in them. And that's it. Don't start defending yourself. That's the trap. That's how they're going to keep you on. They're going to keep you on in that conversation. They're going to keep you coming back for more in that relationship. They're going to get you to change your mind about breaking up and not hanging out with them anymore, or not talking to them anymore. Don't get caught in that trap. It will happen like 100% of the time. I guarantee it. You got to put your ego aside and be willing to let them say whatever they're going to say, because you know you. It really comes down to the bottom line. Do you want to be right, or do you want to be happy? And sometimes you have to make that choice. Not always, but sometimes, and most definitely when you're dealing with a cluster B individual, because they're always right. And if you don't agree with them, then you're wrong. So you're gonna have to ask yourself that question. When you wanna get in there and defend yourself, do you wanna be right, or do you wanna be happy? And if you choose happy, you're just going to let that go. You're going to let them say whatever they say, and you're just going to let it slide right off of you, because you know that's not true. So how do you develop the skill of responding versus reacting? If you've been tuning into my videos for a while, you probably hear me say, even in my Sana series, the very first thing, breathe. You can always breathe 3 times before you give any kind of response. That breath, those 3 breaths, gives you that time, gives you that distance to start getting more present. The second stage is to become grounded in your body. And that means bringing your awareness and your presence into your body and noticing how your body feels. Maybe it's anger. you know, and maybe you notice like it's coming up from like your guts and then it comes up into your chest and then it's like in your face and then it's just like blowing out, right? So if you notice this pattern in your body, this pathway that the anger is taking, then you can start to catch it and calm it down. And then maybe you notice it, you know, as it's getting into your chest and you're like, oh, okay, breathe, calm that down. And you don't respond. By the time it gets up here into your head, you're probably responding because your mind's going crazy and it's in your mouth and you're about to like spit out words that maybe you're going to regret later. Breathe and feel it in your body. What does it feel like in your body? Ask yourself, what does it feel like? Where is it in my body? Maybe it's just like a knot in your gut and your stomach and you're like, ugh, right? Something like that. Notice what's the mechanism inside your body. That's also going to disconnect you from that immediate emotional reaction. It's going to bring you present in your body. And the more present you are, the more awareness you have, the more tools you have at your disposal. If you are just reacting in the moment, you're going to do some kind of knee-jerk, impulsive thing that you're probably going to regret later. And finally, as you're buying yourself that time, you're becoming more present and grounded in your body, ask yourself, with your logical and rational brain, what will be the consequences if I respond in that way? What will be the consequences if I respond in that way? Now, we can't entirely predict what's going to happen or what some other person's reaction is going to be, but chances are if you know this person for a while, you can almost predict what their reaction is going to be if you do that thing. You know, so do you want to go down that road and start defending yourself and, you know, telling them why that's not you and you're not like that and blah, blah, blah. And then you get in the round and round. Or do you want to let that go and tell them, I hear what you're saying and I'm sorry. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to have any more contact with you. I wish you all the best. And you're done. So the most important thing here is that you remember your response is your responsibility and it is always your choice. Nobody makes you do anything. That is what the narcissist says. You made me hit you. You made me cheat on you. No, nobody makes you do anything. Even the feelings that you feel and the emotions that you feel, it doesn't mean it's right what they're doing. But whatever you feel in response to that is your responsibility, is your choice. It's how you feel. Nobody makes you feel. You choose to feel that way. If you don't want to feel that way, then make that choice. If you don't want to react in that same way that's going to get you into trouble over and over again, then make that choice. So that's the message that I have for you today. This is a message of empowerment. This will change your life, not just in the relationship with the narcissist. This will change your life across the board because everything in life is about stimulus and response or reaction. Everything. Every little thing. And remember, you don't have bad days. You let those days go bad. Okay, when something bad happens, you got to lift yourself up. You got to raise your state out of that. I'm sending you a big hug.